Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and how deeply grateful I am you chose to be with us on this beautiful June 24th, 2017. We call our program Satsang. I invite you to offer your questions, and many of you do, and I'm very grateful for that. I am deeply grateful, and I'm also deeply grateful to my sponsors who make all of this possible. If it were not for their sponsorship, their kind generosity, I would not be on radio right now doing this for you. And I hope that you will consider the whole idea of becoming a sponsor, because it is only through your loving donations, your tax-deductible gifts, that we are able to sustain our radio program, our TV program, and everything that we do to serve humankind here at Aspire. So if you go to the website at aspire.org, you can see a little button there that says Support Aspire. It's on a right there on the front page. If you click on it, a submenu will come down. It will say, why support Aspire? And it'll give you all the information you need to know about where your donation goes, how important it is, how you will be acknowledged, and even how to sign up for radio programs and the support of them, and the TV programs, and you'll get the message of the month. There's so many wonderful things that you will get for your sponsorship, access to my podcast, video casts, and commentaries. Everything is there to be of service to you, and I hope that you will avail yourself of it and help us sustain our radio program. It is very important. It goes out to a lot of people, and your questions are very important. So I want to thank you. Today, we're going to talk about, so many things. What it really means to be in a practice, and what we're really doing in it. And I get questions about this and the relevance of the practice. So let's get into it here and see what we can do. My practice, from Carol in Atlanta. I have none. My husband has none. We need you, but you are so far away. We feel very much akin to you, which is an interesting word. And the cost of the flights, etc., is just too much for us. We have children and many, many things to pay for. What do you suggest, Carol? Oh, Carol, you asked a very explosive question for me. You see, before you heard me and before you met me, you set your life into motion through the unconscious mind. And it was telling you that you should have a family and make babies and all that other thing that people like to do, that they think is essential to their happiness or their funness or their survival. So it makes it very difficult to be able to be with me. And all of this is a metaphor. And you know, this is probably your first lifetime where you're going to even consider the idea of a spiritual practice. I'm sure that you hadn't considered it at all before. So here you are, looking at me from Atlanta, Georgia, the thought of coming maybe to a retreat or something like that, hopping in an airplane and coming out here, what, three times a year? You probably won't do that. Two times a year? Probably can't do that. One time a year? Won't be enough ever. We move along very quickly in our progression. So here you are. What to do? It's an interesting question. I know what I would do, but that what I would do would be probably way too crazy for you to do, far too extreme. I would get another side job where I made some extra moolah, and I would devote that totally to my practice. and that money would be used solely and completely for whatever would accelerate and make my practice flow along. I wouldn't even give that a second thought. And the reason I would do it that way is this, and basically it's what I did to get through seminary, and it's what I do kind of even now. I don't go on vacations. I don't do elaborate things. I stay in the confines of my practice and keep working at what it is that I teach. So you could know I'm kind of in the same position you're in, but a little different, okay? When I was younger, going through seminary and everything, I had no support. I had my parents were dead. And I had to deal with college, and I had to deal with seminary, and I had to deal with finding a place to live. It all worked out. Yes, I worked three jobs. I did. And I got it done. But those were different days than they are now. You're going to have to decide how important all of this is to you. What are you going to do? Are you just going to sit there and think to yourself, well, this would be very nice for me to do, but I just don't really have the energy nor the chutzpah or the motivation to get another side job or whatever it would take, and I don't want to do that. So there's the metaphor. It would not be important to you at this stage. You're too deep into the collective unconscious, you're too deep into your desires, you're too deep into everything that is opposed to your practice. And this is what happens. We have all done this, you know, from time to time in our life, where the things that were really important, we just sidestep for the things that were fun or seemed essential to our low self-esteem and propping that little puppy up by getting married and everything. You know, the reason we have big families and have families at all is strictly to prop up the idea that we're not really in love with our mates. We know that there is a problem there. So we think in terms of us having kids, and that'll keep us together. You know, when we have these kind of things, that will be important. There's lots of side paths and silly things that we do to sustain our low self-esteem and try to keep it at arm's distance. And sometimes it's even in the cards for us to build a whole life around low self-esteem, the lack of love within me. Sad part is that the kids catch it eventually. You know, our children become the ebb and flow, the product of the relationship that the mother and father are having with each other. So there you are. You'll have to get another job. You're going to have to work upon this. And if it's not that important to you, which I'm sure it won't be, then you won't do it. And that will be another lifetime where you're going to mess around doing the things that you've done for eons. And when it bothers you enough inside, I promise you, Carol, you'll do something about it. Women always do. When they get something in their craw that they want, they have every ability to manipulate their husband to do whatever he has to do to stay with her. And that'll be the end of that. So you're going to have to get clear. You've got to, as Jesus said in the Beatitudes, hunger and thirst for this. And how do you hunger and thirst for this teaching that promises you nothing? Doesn't promise you're going to be happier or healthier or better than or richer or more famous. It's not going to promise you anything. You have to really go through the fires inside yourself and decide, who am I? What is this life all about? And people are very nonchalant about their life. They really are. They don't really care. They're alive. They're eating. They're entertained. And if they have a warm place to poop and a nice place to sleep and a good food and entertainment to amuse their minds and their emotions, it's good enough. What the hell? And then at the end, you know, when you die, who cares? You know, you just fade to black. And that's the way we rationalize it all. And I'm not here to argue that point. You know, you can do whatever you need to do. I have found over the years of my own practice and helping people, you can only help them so far, and then it all comes crashing down and you can't help them anymore. So there you are, my dear. You're going to have to decide what is more important to you, your life as it is now, or understanding the nature of your real living. And that is love. Everything is about love, believe it or not. And I can't make you feel the urgency of all this. I just can't. It's not in my power. It's not, wasn't in the power of any master whoever lived on the face of this earth. I went around the world to find my master at a time that really was not opportune, but I did it anyway because that's how important it was and still is to me. Believe me, if you stick with this, if you even can do this, it is the most amazing journey and most amazing thing that will ever happen to you. Such huge blessings. Wow. Please forgive me, Carol. Namaste. I'm sure that's not the answer she wanted. Next one comes from Jan. She does not tell me where she lives. I like parts of my life, Greg. How much of a change do I have to make in order to have a spiritual practice that you would say is authentic? I want to improve, Jan. Jan, this isn't about picking and choosing and looking at my life and thinking, well, I like my life over here, and there's a few things there that seem really nice, but over here there are some things that ain't so good. It is about going shopping and looking at the different bins to decide what I want to get or purchase. It doesn't work that way, even remotely. It isn't about looking for self-improvement. I have a lot of women in my lifetime that have been students, and they bring their husbands in oftentimes to try to change them and make them better people and get them to do what they want them to do. And they think, well, I've tried everything else. We'll try the spiritual practice stuff and see if that works. But sooner or later, they find out it doesn't work and that nothing in their life really changes. The only thing that happens is it gets more convoluted, because the motives are convoluted, okay? You're not here to, you know, fix up your life and make it be something that you would say is an improvement. We're not here to improve our life. We're here to have a metamorphosis, a complete change within us. Not a little change, but a huge one. Where we drop, like in my case, drop the Gregory and begin to have that experience of just exquisite love that lives within. This love pours out, goes out into the world, goes out into life. It is the Heart Sutra of living, and it doesn't need any kind of, well, confirmation from my ego. It requires an extreme amount of love and kindness. You have to want love more than wanting what you think is love. And if you can understand what I just said, then you can understand the meaning of life itself and what you and I are really doing here. Don't go try to find a practice that fits your lifestyle. You have to find a practice that doesn't fit your lifestyle. It is the lifestyle that is the issue. You need to accept your life for what it is right now, and then begin your journey, never being content with trying to appease emotionality. The emotions can never make you happy. They never will make you happy. They can't make you happy. Happiness is a quality of consciousness, and it has nothing to do with the perimeters of our outer life. Happiness is a quality of consciousness. And as you enter into this consciousness, this life, and you start to have this metamorphosis where you are no longer living as you once were, from the fear, the anger, the collective unconscious, the self-hatred, you begin to find meaning in everything. It doesn't matter what you are doing, you are going to find meaning in it. As you find that meaning, you will sustain a practice and a life that you did not know existed in your living. This is a monumental thing. So whether you like parts of your life or not, it matters not. It really doesn't. It doesn't matter whether you like this part or that part. What matters is, can I change? Can I grow? Can I mature past my thinking? Think of it this way. When was the last time your psychology grew? When was the last time your emotions exceeded their need for excitement, for gratification, for pleasure? You will find that your emotions and your psychology never change. Not never, not ever. They do not change. They do not grow. They do not mature. They don't do anything. They just stay the way they are, and they cause us confusion and doubt and worry. So when you're thinking about some real change in your life, something that would authentically change your life, you have to begin to understand that there is more involved here than what you believe in and what you can think. There is something called love. This love changes everything. Consciousness is love, and love is consciousness. And this love is not an emotional attachment. It is really freedom from emotion. So you say, I like parts of my life. How much of a change do I have to make in order to improve? It's not about improving. You must be willing to put away your entire life and what you believe your entire life is about for the sake of a love that is greater than anything you could ever expect in living. This is why it is so important to understand the premise of an authentic spiritual practice. You're not going to get it without meditation and consciousness. And you're going to find as you go on in meditation and developing consciousness that there are difficulties, very big difficulties, things that get in the way. Things that bother you. You're going to have to work on your past. You're going to have to let go of it. You're going to have to let go of your genetics. You're going to have to let go of many aspects of your life and have a mind that is beyond the concept of thinking. A thinking mind only causes mischief. When you are no longer interested in your thinking mind and you want the mind that reveals, that will be the time when something of the immense love can occur within and a great wisdom will start to arise in you. Few people attain to this. They're too busy trying to get their earthly life together while their inner life, their heavenly life, goes by the wayside. And by the time you get your earthly chores done, there won't be anything left of it. Your spiritual life, that is, it'll be all gone because you spent all that time laboring in futility for trying to be comfortable and get what you wanted. I believe a spiritual practice, and Zen teachers have a saying, and it is very true, that if you don't begin your practice early on in your life, it is very hard to catch up. It isn't impossible, but it's difficult. Very few can do it. You have to have horsepower, baby. The ability to stay with it, and a teacher, forgive me, who will kick your butt until you do. I've had plenty of those in my day. I hope that helps you. My butt's sore. I gotta go. Please forgive me. Namaste.
I want it soft and gentle. So I can like cheat and not really do it, but make you think I'm doing it. I hear that.
Last question comes from Jason. Here's one. My wife wants no part of religion. She would not like me writing to you even now. Yet I need you, and I need to do the practice. How do I do this? Please help, Jason. Well, it's easy, Jason. You just go and do it. You do it because you can. I don't know where you live or whatever, but you don't let someone tell you what you can and cannot do. And if she does and she persists in that, then you know she doesn't love you. I mean, I would never do that to a mate. You know, if you don't want to do this, you don't want to do it. That's fine, but I'm going to do it. And my life is going to revolve around it. Now, that's going to cause a problem, I guarantee it. And then you're going to find out what you're made of. And if you have man disease is when I am totally wrapped around the idea of my emotionality and that my woman, whoever that might be, that lucky lady, is the recipient of taking care of me. And that could be through food and sex and money and all sorts of things. So we go on and on and on with this. Most of the time, never really understanding the nature of our life because we concede to the ideas of our body, our genetics, our unconscious mind, and we don't have the wherewithal within us, the horsepower, as I like to call it, to change. To go in another direction, no matter what anybody says. I've lost a lot of friends over this. I've lost all sorts of people in my life for the sake of my practice. Would I do it again? Oh, yeah. Because I found out, this is just me, Jason, I found out that these people never loved me. I only fit into their life because I could give them something they wanted. And once they found out that I wasn't going to dedicate my life to giving them what they wanted, they were goners. My life was my practice and is my practice. It cultivates things inside me and it brings such beauty, such insight, such exquisiteness. I can't even describe it anymore. And I'm so grateful for it. I'm humbled by it. So I'm not much interested in personal relationships that don't go anywhere and can't give you very much. They can only give you, you know, the idea of being chained to the relationship. You have to want this thing more than you want anything in your life. It has to be numero uno. And if it's not, and your mate doesn't agree with that, then you're never going to fully go into the practice. You're never going to be fully aware. You're never going to have that beautiful experience. And if she were to go into it with you, oh, it would be so beautiful. And it could happen, but probably won't by what I hear here in the email. So, you know, you're going to have to decide. You might want to get a really good lawyer. Just a word of wisdom. I hope that helps you. I really do. And I'm sorry I don't have a
an answer that would appease your emotions. Please forgive me. Namaste. I'm out of here. If you have a comment, a question, or something I can help you with, you know what to do. Come to the website at aspire.org and take a look at media. There you'll see Satsang with Suraj. That be me. And you can ask a question from there. Listen to past radio programs, future and current. They're all there for you along with my TV programs. And I hope they all serve you well. Thank you for listening. And once again, please forgive me. Namaste.